Brother Hannigan, I wonder if you'd come and open the service in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we enter into your courts with praise. We come with thanksgiving this morning for this another day that you have given us. We thank you, O God, that you have a plan for this morning, for this day. You have a plan for each one of us. We look to you to guide us by your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not by our might nor by power, but by your Spirit that we wish to worship you and praise you this morning. Yes. We wish to learn of you. Father, help us to sit at the feet of Jesus this morning and to do your will in everything. We just praise you, O Lord. Bless each one. Let us have that air of expectation for what you are going to do this morning. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'd like us to just sing one chorus before we move on to something else. And it is just the chorus of Victory in Jesus, so you'd all know it. Oh, I'm too close to the mic. Yeah. Okay. So let's just stand. I would really like to, and I know we all want this, for everyone to receive that victory in Jesus in our lives. We all need direction as we come into this camp and we meet before each meeting. We need direction. And we're looking for the direction of the Holy Spirit, which might be quite different from what we've experienced over the years. And I really hope it is. I want more. More all the time. He has much more for us to enter into. And let's just open our hearts and look for the change that can take place in our meetings and in ourselves, in our lives, and everything that affects us. He loves us and he cares about everything that affects us. We should all be able to go from here with a clearer plan for our lives, clearer direction, and victory in Jesus. Let's just sing the chorus. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me to victory. I wonder if there are any here who are having trouble hearing this morning. I see your hands. Not too many. Okay. There are some seats up at the front. And we have... I saw those hands. We have speakers here, and I was sitting right up here, and I could hear really well. Another one over here. So I'm sure that everybody in these front seats can hear really well. So if you're having trouble hearing, lots of room up here. Keep my wife company over there. She looks a little bit lonely. So we'll look for some to move up here when there's if they can't hear. I'd also like you to, it's looking a little better this morning. People are a little closer to the front than they were earlier in the camp. And I'd really like to see us leave the back seats, the black area, for children, parents with children. And there might even be a grandparent that has a responsibility for some of the children. Not that we want the children at the back, because we love them. We like them to be up here where we can see them. I see a few over there. It's very nice to have them sitting up there and be part of the meeting. Everyone is an important part of the meeting of the church. And I think that was one of the main messages that we were hearing in those early days when God was speaking so clearly. He was taking people from routines where there were various things. There were young people's groups and prayer meetings, and young people didn't go to the prayer meeting, and the old people didn't go to the young people's meeting. So you had a lot of different groups. And while we realize that young people have things they want to talk about among themselves, really God wants us all to be one. We are one in Him. And we need to learn to participate in the service right from the very early days. We see the custom in many churches is to have the children say a verse or sing a song, and it thrills everyone. They're a great ministry, and it really disappoints me in that I've seen some cases where those children become 13 years old, and then you don't hear from them anymore because they're too old for that sort of thing. But we don't want that to happen. We want to learn to encourage one another, whether you're 3 years old or whatever, 100 years old. We want to be able to encourage and lift up one another. And we see the smiles that around here. We know that inside, maybe there's some hurt. But on the outside, we see a smile that encourages us, and we appreciate that. But we also want to care about one another and understand one another. And this morning, we're going to have some time for some testimonies a little bit later on. So just keep that in mind. Now, we're always, when we have body ministry and open up a service, we're always at risk of someone taking over too much time. So just keep in mind that there are 100 people here, and we want to give everyone a chance. So we don't want any one person taking up all the time. Even though you might have something important to say, if you can say it in few words and allow time for others, that would be very much appreciated. So that will come a little bit later. Just think about it. And we want God to bless that as well. We are going to try to integrate everyone. We want to be one, as I said. Integrate everyone throughout this camp rather than have any special evening for anybody. And if there are children who have something to sing, or we want to see them all at some particular time throughout this camp. So just keep that in mind. And the opportunity will be here for for them to minister to us in that regard. Praise the Lord. Now, we have some people here that are here for the first time. How many are here for the first time? Can I see your hands? Yeah, there are a few. So you don't know everybody else here, obviously. And some of us don't know who you are. So I have a list of everyone who registered for the camp. And I made a few copies. And I hope there are enough copies here for everyone who wants one. And I'd like a couple of men to come and distribute these. People, I think there's about 35 copies there, so hopefully that was enough. So I'd like you to really take a good look at them and try to be able to name everyone, put a face to every name and a name to every face before you leave this week. And we're doing this relatively early in the camp, so that it gives you a chance to get this done before you leave. And I just realized this is Wednesday. We're getting very close to the middle of the camp. So there are some things that we want to, these are things we want to get done. Some things we want to get done is to get to know each other much better. One of the reasons we come to the camp is so that we can become one more. As Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John, that his disciples would be one. They would be of one mind. And we want that for us as well. We want that for everyone, every Christian, everyone that follows Christ. We want that, his prayer, to be answered. And that we all be of one mind. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to go through this list a little bit. And I don't want to take up too much time. But I want you to have a look at it. And we start up in the top left corner there. And sometimes the people that are ministering here get up and begin to minister. And they don't say, nobody introduces them. We usually don't, because most of us know each other. And they don't say who their name is. You don't know who it is. But they're up there talking. And you wonder about that. So I just want to go over in the first group there. Now, this is not necessarily an order of importance, if you're wondering. I'd like everyone in the first group to stand. And these are the traveling ministries. These are the ones that God has chosen to, and their wives. Maybe, can you come up to the front? Just line up along the front here. We've embarrassed Brian already. So, we're going to have to do this quickly, too, because we want to get this finished. So Hazel, my wife, was over there. I'm Byron Price. Merv and Irene Sunbow, right here. Albert Hannigan is over here. I've known Albert for a few years. I think I was about 15 years old when I first became aware of Albert Hannigan. He was staying in a dorm in North Battleford, and I was there as well, and we got to know each other a little bit there, and getting to know each other better all the time over all these years. You can't remember that? I do. You inspired me even that at that time, as you continue to do so. Brian and Marjorie Hannigan. Brian is Albert is Brian's father, brother. On the end here is Brother Nat Swan, and he lives in Ontario. That's in Canada, in the eastern part of Canada. And David and Sonia Gabrick, where are they? They're over here. They're from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Can everybody say that? maybe a challenge for the Americans to say that. Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And Daryl Martz. Where's Daryl? You're on the list here. So Daryl is the one that is, he takes special responsibility for this camp, for the financial arrangements and choosing the, putting you in certain rooms, and hopefully you've enjoyed your rooms, the rooms that he's very attentive to moving people around as best he can to fit into the rooms that are here so that everyone's comfortable. So we appreciate that, Daryl. Okay, thank you very much. Now you know all those folks. The next group is Vancouver. And Hazel and I are from Vancouver, but we... So all of the Vancouver people, would you please... let's see, how will we do this? Maybe just as I call your name out. Ron and Lynette Hannigan, would you just stand, please? Back at the back. And that's another son of Brother Albert Hannigan here. He had quite a few. He had six sons and one daughter, and as a result of that, he has many grandchildren and many great-grandchildren and on and on. Okay, Lane and Rianne Price and Alina and Naomi, please stand up. And they're special to us. Lane is our son. Randall Plett and Sherilyn Plett. They're from Vancouver. Father and daughter. David and Kimberly Hannigan. Hansen. A Hannigan. Yes. David and Kimberly Hansen. Got it. I'm so used to saying Hannigan. And Kimberly, I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that while I'm still ahead. Flo Henley from Vancouver. There's Flo. She's a special person from Vancouver. Myrna Collins, another special person from Vancouver. And she's over here. And she's Daryl's sister. Neil and Linda Hannigan and Ross and Marcus and Colin will be here later in the week, probably Thursday or so. Okay, Victoria. Victoria Assembly, not Victoria the person. Okay, Vic and Barb Levson, where are you? Right there from Victoria. Sarah and Becky. Sarah, which one are you? Let's see. Here this morning? Not in the meeting right now. Becky? You here? Maybe they're afraid to stand up. No? Okay, Marilyn Irwin. There's Marilyn. Good to see you. Good to have you with us. Now, the last two on the list are Alex Campbell and Kylie Ann Hingston, and they will be coming later. Cranbrook, Scott and Deanna Graham, and Kelty and Roslyn Graham. Four people that we appreciate very much from Cranbrook, just a little bit north of here. Justin and Lee Betcher, and Lily and Kieran and Forrest. And they're back at the back there. We appreciate them. And Ben and Rhonda Loggins, Hallie and Ezra. Now, I don't think Ben is here, but Rhonda and Hallie and Ezra are here. And then they're from Cranbrook also, or Mamie Seabrook. Where's Mamie? Right there. And Emma Baines. Emma's right there. Now, if you ever get a chance to go to Cranbrook, you will be ministered to by the children especially. And I was there, I was leading the meeting, and there came a time when I could see that I could not hold back the flood any longer, and I had to, the children could hardly wait to get to the front, so I just had to quit talking and let them come up. And they came up and sang, and everybody sang, and action choruses, and we had a wonderful time, wonderful service after the children came up. Yeah, great. It's a real pleasure to be there. Okay, Payette, Idaho. This is a special place that we get an opportunity to go to occasionally and like to be there more. John and Sue Greif, and right over here, and Beth Greif. Beth and Nate are their children. Where's Nate? Oh, there, Sue's right. He's sitting right beside his mom. And from Payette, Brandon O'Brien. Ontario, okay, Ontario, Oregon, just across the river from Payette. And Jessica Booth, she's here for the first time, and we're really glad to have you here. And the next family is Mike and Gwen Greif and Ashton and Brody. And Ashton is over here. Oh, well, I was looking for a little fellow, but not such a little fellow anymore. Okay. The next two are Danielle Eakin and Timberly, her daughter. They're right over here, and we're really glad to have you here at this camp for the first time. Welcome. Praise the Lord. And then Martha Greif. Where's Martha? Right there. Martha's been here many, many times. And so glad to see her every time we come. And Jill Haney will be here, I think, Friday for the weekend. Calgary. Now, Calgary sent a lot of people. So we'll start off with Dan and Ev Levson. Right there. Okay, Ev is imaginary this morning. And Mark and Brenda Russo. And Nicholas and Noel are their family. They just got back from a trip to Alaska. I was afraid that they headed off to Alaska, and I thought, oh no, are they not coming to the camp? But they came back. Glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Okay, John and Nancy Levson and Isaiah will be here later in the week. So we have Dave and Midge Levson. Where are you? Right there, okay. And Nathan and Sharon Duick from Calgary. There they are. Okay. And Michael and Stephanie Seabrook. And Jonah. Okay. There they are. And we're glad to have Jonah here for the first time. Welcome, Jonah. Okay. Now, Victoria Hannigan. Right here. Notice how often the name Hannigan keeps coming up. And Levson, yes. We are connected in many different ways as time goes on here. Even I'm related to most of them. Elaine Leach. Elaine is right there. And then, okay, and okay. Phil Levson, Sherry Dahl, Nikki Levson and Jessica Levson, I think, are not here, but they will be here later in the week. I have them on my list anyway. Okay, so that's all on the list for Calgary. Edmonton. Edmonton didn't send very many people. Ernie and Grace Smith. Where are you? Ernie and Grace and Suzanne Smith. Where is she? Right back there. Okay. Please try to send more people next time, will you? Saskatchewan and Manitoba, yes. Yep. Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Put them in together. Wes and Wendy Simpson, right up here, and Brent and Randy Simpson, right there. So glad to have you here. Grayson Swan and Joel Swan, brothers. And they still seem to get along pretty well, sitting together. Quite amazing. Oh, yeah. Brittany Suderman. Is Brittany in the meeting? There she is. First time for Brittany, and we welcome you. And second time. That's right. You were here before. Yeah. Anyway, we're really glad to have you here with us and hope you enjoy the week. Megan Weeb, right there. Welcome. And she used to be from Calgary, but she's in with the Saskatchewan people now. And Janice Kotcher. Glad to have Janice with us. She's the only one that Regina sent this time, and I hope that Regina will send some more in the future. We used to live in Regina, so we have some special contacts with the Regina folks. Okay. Minden, Nebraska. We had a whole list of people who were coming from Minden, and it's down to two. And it's Mark and Diane Tay. Okay. I'll try to. And there they are, and welcome. Glad to have you with us. So we need to get to know especially these people that are here for the first time, and that we can. Mark and Diane. Okay, we're down to Colorado. Nick and Lenore Snoke. Where are you? Right there. And Logan and Carson. Right there. Heather Gray and Haley Gray. Where are you? Heather and Haley is right there. Okay. Virginia Turner is over here. And Emily Neal is right there, Emily. And the last one on the Colorado list is, now, Andy. What's that? Yeah, I am. I'm still there. But Andy sent me, when he sent in a registration, he said, Alec D. And I sent an email back and said, does he have a last name? And he said, oh, it's such a long name, you can't pronounce it. And anyway, yeah. Welcome. Glad to have you here. I'm trying to learn. I was going to try to say your name, but I'll just leave it. I've made enough mistakes here. Okay, we're almost to the end of the list here. In Oregon, we have Lloyd Cornell. Where's Lloyd? Right over here from near Portland. And Chris, his son, will be here a little bit later. David and Wendy Flett, and John and Ella. John David and Ella Flett will be here later in the week. And also we have Tim and Jess Zilke and Grace and Sharon Rose and Corey. Where are you? They're spread around a little bit here. Okay, there's Jess at the back. And so anyway, yeah, they're, well, everybody loves this family so much they had to share them with other people here. So they're sitting all over the place. Okay, so that's the end of the list. I hope you'll keep the list and read it again if you need to. Get to know each other. Yes? Oh, did we miss anybody? Oh, are they? Okay. Great. Rod and Kendall. Okay. So let's stand and sing, I Love This Family of God.
I love this family of God, so closely knitted into one. They've taken me into their hearts, and I'm so glad to be a part of this great family.
Okay, you can be seated. Now, I said that we would open the meeting for testimonies, and we want the Lord's leading in that. So if he's been speaking to your heart and you have something that would encourage us, usually when we want to hear the positive messages, something God has done in your life, and while we're thinking about that a little bit more, I wonder if there are any children that could sing for us right now while we're waiting. Does anybody actually know a song that they don't have to practice and practice to be able to sing? I don't know if there would be any like that or not. But, no? I think there would be some that could just sing a song you've sung before in church. Any of those? Oh, here comes one. This is a faithful member of the Cranbrook Assembly. Come right up here. You need any help or music or anything? No, you probably need a microphone so you can be heard. We'll come right over on this side. This microphone is the best, he says.
All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, he made the glowing colors, he made their tiny wings. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all.
Got something to say, or are we just submit supporting? We really appreciate their ministry. Did you hear the words of the song? And all of that is ministry to our hearts. So we just appreciate it very much. They even wanted to sit in the front seats before they went back. So that's the enthusiasm that we like to have. I remember Brother Doug Whitter saying, talking about body ministry, and saying that the young children really need to be We need to accept them and accept their ministry, and they may hold the key to the meeting. And often happens that something comes forth that is that changes our whole meeting. So I just wonder if there's someone now with a testimony, and just keep in mind that we want to make room for others and not take all of the time for any one particular person. Praise God. Can we sing? We're always afraid of silence, aren't we? Sometimes silence is good. Praise God. Yes?
Much better, and I was able to leave all my concerns where I was told to leave it, up there, not back here.
So, a testimony of healing and God giving us strength. And we just thank Him. Thank Him for that. Praise the Lord. We all know of wonderful things that God has done for us. And I'm sure we're just... Now, I see Brother Dan Levson with the microphone, and you're not going to get away with speaking from down there. Is that where you
wanted me to come up there?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Why don't the other two come and follow me? Keep coming.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Just a suggestion, sorry.
Yeah.
Real quick, I've had a pretty tough year, probably one of the toughest years of my life, at least from a work perspective. But one of the lessons that I've learned comes out of a scripture, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things. And I have called out to God for help an awful lot of times, more than I ever have in my life. And I can testify that God is very faithful. And God has done a remarkable number of miracles in my life, in my work part of my life, things that I could not have come up with in 1,000 years of planning and thinking and all the rest. So God is very good. I love Him, and I encourage you, exhort you, to call out to God in your life all the time about everything. He cares about everything. There's nothing in your life that He isn't interested in. And so don't ever let anybody tell you it's too small of a detail or whatever. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to Him. Praise God.
My name's Alex, and God has done a series of miracles over a long period of time, and sometimes I have to face the wall because he just knocks me out. He got me through losing a wife to alcoholism. I sobered up in 1987, and she continued to drink, and more than once I went to her and told her about my feelings. I didn't tell her she had to do or undo anything. But I told her that I felt like an orphan and went several times with it. Well, in 1998, I lost her to alcoholism, and I lost my mom and my sister-in-law. And at the time, I thought all the women I'd ever cared about had left me, and it bruised me because I was basically thrown away. I was born to my parents late in life, and they wanted to go do things, so they always threw me to relatives. But several things have happened throughout the time that I was saved from myself. while continuing to work for a brewery, is that in 2002, a man cut in front of me on my motorcycle, and I had to slam on the brakes, and the bike fell, and I wasn't bright enough to wear a helmet. And as a consequence, my whole left side of my brain was full of blood, and I was in a coma for several days. And afterwards, when I came to, the doctor came in the room and said to me that they'd done an MRI and a CAT scan, and the whole left side of my brain was full of blood. And it floored me, you know. And I said, well, okay, I guess I'm done working, or God will heal me, you know. And I came to that conclusion, but I prayed through that night for until early dawn that he either removed it or he allowed me to gracefully be, because he said I'd drag a foot and talk with a lisp and have several other problems. And through the night, I just prayed for God's will. I didn't sit there and point at anything. I opened up both possibilities and humbly asked him to do what he would with me. And that's my favorite way to close any prayer, is thy will not mine be done, because that gets me out of making wishes, I guess you'd call it, because it's just not right. God has sovereignty over me and everything I am or ever will be. Well, the next day, because of him, not me, a day or so later, they did another MRI and CAT scan, and the doctor comes in the room with me, and I was still pretty laid out, and he said, well, I don't understand. The massive hematoma was gone. And I started to say, I think I, and he turned on his heel and left. But I went and called all my other friends, and I've witnessed several times in Alcoholics Anonymous for the fact that there's nothing that is outside the reach of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
This is a testimony about the importance of every member of the body. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you parents that have young children. I know sometimes bringing your young children to camp can be a real chore. It's hard sometimes. They don't sleep properly, and you can't always get in the visiting you want to because you have to run around after them. But I wanted to tell a little story about... At camp, I worked with the preschoolers, and they were all a great blessing to me. And there was one little girl that one day I went into the dining hall, and she pulled her chair up next to me, and she sat and visited with me. And I think this little girl is only 3 or 4. And you know, that was such a blessing to me. And that little girl ministered to me just as much as anybody else at the whole camp. And I just wanted to say, you know, don't ever hesitate to bring your kids to camp. I know it's hard. But you know, they're a member of the body of Christ just as much as anybody else is. And you never know what that little person will do in somebody's life, in a grown-up's life, in an older person's life. Because that little girl, she blessed me. Every time I saw her, she had a big hug for me and a big smile. And you know, I was just so blessed every time I saw that little soul. And all the preschoolers that I worked with were such a blessing to me. And I just... That's such a wonderful part of God's plan, that we can all bless each other no matter how little we are.
Hi, I just want to say how amazing God is and how blessed we all are. We are so fortunate to be part of this family of God. I wasn't raised in this move. I was brought in because of Wes. And it has just been amazing. Before I met Wes, I struggled a lot with my faith. I would go to church for a while, stop going, would go, stop going. Lots of guilt, lots of shame. But God brought me here. And I have been so blessed. And even when things were not going good, my parents would say, "We will come get you," before Wes and I were married. And I said to Mom, I said, "You know, I still won't go back. I love the church so much." And that is just, and everybody was so welcoming. Y'all made me feel so accepted. And I just want to say what a blessing it is. And for the ones that have, were raised in it and thinking about leaving, I've been on both sides. And there's nothing like this. And if you, just a note of encouragement, my husband and I have been very blessed to be traveling to the different camps this year. We can't afford it, but God has allowed me to have lots of overtime. And it seems when we go away, my husband's marketing, he comes back and things have sold. So, you know, God is faithful and just, and it is such a blessing to go to all these, you know, you think, oh, it's such a small meeting. It's just for the weekend. It's too far to go. You won't realize until you've done it how blessed you really are when you actually go to these small meetings and the friendships that you create, people you'll never get to meet otherwise. It's a real blessing. So I just encourage you, if you do have the opportunity, even if it's a weekend and even if it's 1,000 miles away, go if you can.
Well, I have a lot to thank the Lord for. As most of you have known, that I'm alone since 2008 when my husband passed away. But the Lord has been with me all the way, and he's been my comfort and strength, and he's given me a ministry to many people because I like to be busy, and that helps. And then you're not so lonely. And he's given me people right in Cranbrook that really look forward to my coming to them. And there's a dear Catholic lady that she just loves it when I visit and pray with her. And there's others too that no matter what church they go to, if I can minister to them about Jesus and help them in any way, I want to keep doing that. And I told the Lord, first of all, I should say I'm thankful for the measure of health the Lord has given me. I'm still able to ride my bicycle. And I'm just so thankful that he has given me a ministry to people. Because I like to be busy. And I'm just grateful that we don't have to feel alone, even when we are no longer having our life partner. And just recently I met a young person, and he seemed to be in dire straits. He said anything will help, so I just gave him a little bit of money, and I told him that if he accepted Jesus as his Savior, he would have the best friend that he could have. And I trust that he will do that. And then I would also like to say something about my granddaughter, Shannon Baines. I thought some months back, I did not know how she would graduate because she has been sick so much and had missed so much school. But in May, she graduated from grade 12, and that was an encouragement to her. She had a lot of catching up to do, but I think she pulled up her socks and got to graduate with the other kids. And when you think of her, still pray for her because she's not attending church, except maybe the odd time when I was there in Calgary. She said, "Grandma, I'll go for you." But I want her to go because she wants to walk with God. I want her to go because she loves the Lord. She says she has her devotions, but I know she needs the fellowship of the saints of God. She needs to go to church. So keep praying for her. She still struggles with her eating disorder. But when I look at her and saw her graduate, I thought she's come quite a ways. And she has a part-time job as well. And so I thought I would say this about her. I've committed her to the Lord. And I know that the Lord can finish the work. I know that he paid the price for her, that she might have complete victory. And so maybe I should just make this short now. I just have much to thank the Lord for. Oh, yes, and I want to say another thing. I seldom ever have a headache, but I had a little bit the last days of kind of a interval throbbing one side of my head, and that's gone since yesterday I had prayer last night, and that's gone. So again, I thank the Lord for the measure of health that he's given me. And he is our healer, our savior, our everything if we let him be. And I'm just so thankful.
God is so good.
God is so good, he's so good to me.
So for those of you who don't know us, we're Scott and Deanna Graham, and this is Kelty. And in January, Kelty gave us quite a bit of a scare. She, long story short, she got a very severe case of croup and was in the hospital for a while. She got flown from Cranbrook over to the Calgary Children's Hospital, where she ended up having respiratory arrest, and then they had to do CPR to get her back. So I guess this is more of a testimony for she's alive, and I really do believe it's because of the prayers of the people. And one of the biggest things for us while we were going through that was that we knew that we could rely fully on the body of Christ to be praying. And we knew that everybody was praying and very diligently praying. And so for that, we are so thankful. There were moments that we couldn't even form the words to pray. We didn't even know what to say, nor could we think through it to even pray. And so both of us just said, you know what? It's out of our hands. There's nothing we can do. It's in God's hands. And we relied completely on all of you to be praying for us. So for that, we're very thankful, and we feel very blessed to be part of the body of Christ.
It's just definitely an amazing comfort just to know that, you know, we have this great big family, and we hold each other up, and I can't say enough about how much of a comfort it is.
One of the songs that I sang over and over, there were two songs actually, and one was "The battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's," and that helped me just let go and give it all to God. I sang that over and over, and then my cousin Sharon came to the hospital room And right after, Kelty had her code blue, and she came and prayed with us, and she said the song that she was thinking of was "Be Still and Know That I Am God," and that was such a blessing to me too. And it just a presence of peace was there, and at that point, after all that, yes, it was still scary, but we knew she was going to be okay, and we could rest in that. So, thank you.
Thanks.
Good to hear about that, because we all went through that. We all felt the anxiety and fear, and we all went to the Lord to take that request to Him. And it's just wonderful to hear the result now and have them here at the camp. Appreciated her sweet smile this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Someone else?
Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command. Honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand. Who for God had been a host by joining Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose, and dare to make it known. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, onto victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known.
After that song, I had to dare to come up. So, Lane and I have had a real hard year as well. And it feels like it's been one spiritual battle after another. And just wanted to share a verse that really has helped in the battle. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. This is from the King James. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so Lane and I really had to seek God about what were some strongholds in our life. And so I was learning a bit about strongholds, and back in the day when people were warring all the time, a stronghold would be kind of like a cave away from a city that a king and his army could go to, and they could be safe and no one would know where they were, and it'd be really hard to attack. And so it really helped me to think about what are some things in my life that I go to that are like a stronghold. So they're like a refuge for me, or that maybe protects me from the hurt that I'm feeling. And all over the Psalms, God says that He's our stronghold. And so we need to have God pull down strongholds that are other than Him. And so the fifth verse says, casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So Lane and I would have to take so many thoughts and say, is this from the Word of God, this thought? And if it's not, it doesn't belong in our home. And we realized that we were basing a lot of our reality on things other than the Word of God. And so we had to come to a decision, like, do we really believe that the Word of God is real and is meaningful to our life? And obviously we decided that it was. And so what we've been trying to do is work on taking the Word as reality in every situation and making God our stronghold, so that we go to Him as that safe place away where no one can attack us. And one of the thoughts that I personally realized that I needed to bring into captivity was the thought that I needed to earn God's love or God's favor. And that was a huge stronghold for me. Everything I did every day was based on, is God going to be happy with me at the end of the day? And that's not really a relationship. And I realized that's sort of how I was living in my marriage too, is like, at the end of the day, is Lane going to be happy with me? And that's not really like a healthy relationship. You want it to be where you're basing your actions on a secure love and knowing that love of your spouse for you and of God for you. And I really feel like that message has been at this camp. And so, Lane, if you don't mind coming to the piano, I hope you'll bear with me. I just seem to express a lot through song, or I connect a lot with songs. And so this is a song to anyone who feels like they need to know God's love or acceptance. And I think sometimes we think when someone first comes to Christ, they need to know they're accepted and they're forgiven. But every day we need to know that we're accepted and loved. And I've had to get in the habit of, when I make mistakes, which happens a lot, especially as a parent, to just, instead of shying away from God, to actually run to Him and know that I'm accepted and be like, God, You just saw that and that was really bad, but thank You so much for Your love for me. And there's just so much of a better relationship now with God. So Okay. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted. No condemnation. I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. You're accepted, you're forgiven. You are fathered by the true and living God. You're accepted, no condemnation. You are loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as you draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as you release your worship to you, O Lord. Would you want to sing it with me if you think you could learn it? I just feel like it's a message for the church today. Do you want to stand and I'll just read the words. The piano's not working. Okay. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I'm fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation. I'm loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation. I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. I'm accepted, I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation. I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Savior and Creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. One more time. I'm accepted. I'm forgiven. I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation.
is the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord.
I just want to say how thankful and grateful and appreciative I am to be here. Sorry. Don't like talking in front of people. I started out on this journey a few weeks ago, and I didn't really have a plan or a direction. I've just really been struggling in a lot of areas of life right now. And I knew I needed help, and I was reaching out for something, and I didn't know what, and I didn't know where to go. And I was really lost. But I feel like God found me, and He brought me right where I needed to be. I know that I'm here for a reason and a purpose. I didn't even have a map with me on this journey, and somehow I ended up here. And I feel like through it all, He's trying to teach me that I don't need to worry, I don't need to fear, that He is with me, and that all my needs He will supply. And that He has the plan, and that I don't need to understand it all right now. And I don't know, the verse that keeps coming to my mind today is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart, and not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Yeah, I just want to thank you guys again for everything.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother David Gabrick was standing ready to minister to us. Do you want to fit in some of that today? Maybe there's not enough time for it all, but what do you... Yeah. Now, there'll be time for other testimonies later in the camp. This is not the only day for it. So if you were thinking of something that would help the rest, and you didn't get an opportunity or didn't feel like that it was the time, we'll really try. Just pray with us that we will all follow the leading of the Lord in this whole camp. And it's a special camp so far, and it will continue to be. So, Brother David.
Praise the Lord. Thanks for the water. Excuse me. Praise the Lord.
I so much appreciate testimony and those that provide that testimony that helps you resolve in your life that God loves you. That because he's meant something to you in a special way. And if you get caught in something like that into the future, you think back to what you've shared with the people and share that testimony. And I'd like to talk about a person in the Bible who was a testimony to all of us. Brother Darrell made a comment at the beginning of the camp which caught my attention. And he said that, may we not be slothful in our walk with God. Slothful meaning dull or indifferent. And I want to talk about a person in the Bible who was not slothful in his walk with the Lord. And his name is Caleb. But before I get talking a little bit about Caleb and what he stood for, that he stood in his faith to the Lord and that he believed the Lord wholeheartedly. And I like that word wholeheartedly because it means all-encompassing. It's everything. It's not the slothful. It's not a dull moment in his spiritual walk or an indifference. But just before I get on that, I like to talk a little bit about the scriptures, the Bible, the scriptures, the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, New Living Translation, I'll just read it. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the scriptures are there to help us. And the scriptures involved many human authors. But God was fully responsible of the scriptures through these authors. And scripture is useful both in the Old Testament and the New Testament when read together as our guide and teacher in life. When we read the scriptures with the help of the Holy Spirit. Not try to figure out in our minds what the scriptures say, but read them with the help of the Holy Spirit. The scripture substantiates God's nature, his plan, his purpose, so that we can confidently place our faith in him. We are not left to the guesswork of man regarding the historical or theological works of God. But we rely on the scriptures that God has given us. And we can know how to live, make decisions, and worship the Lord because it is written in his word. The Bible, or the scriptures, really is the last word of what God's will and plan will be. Despite what man might think that is, we need to... Anything we do here, we need to have it grounded in the scriptures. And if it's grounded and confirmed in the scriptures, that's the last word. If it isn't, leave it alone. Stay within the scriptures. The scriptures is God's guide to salvation and living wise, living right. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Bible and the scriptures enlighten us to recognize our sin, recognize our need for salvation, and it gives us that roadmap to the best possible life God has for us, for each of us. Now, I did a little study on, I like numbers and I like a bit of history. The scriptures were written over a period of about 1,600 years, give or take 100 years, probably doesn't matter. That's approximate time. But it involved 40 generations over a period of time, 1,600 years, about 40 generations, involved about 40 authors from every walk of life in different places, different times, different moods. It dealt with controversial topics or it deals with controversial topics. And it involves a lot of information and time of man, what they've experienced. And yet, when you read these scriptures with the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how the harmony there is and that there's continuity. Even today, you roll time, it was about 2,000 years since the last book is written in the scriptures to now, and yet the Bible is inspirational. And with that inspiration, there comes these persons or personalities, if you may categorize it, where there are witnesses in the scriptures that we can read and take things from there to apply to our lives. The scriptures are pretty unique in its portrayal of the different people that are in the scriptures. It is frank and blunt about the sins of its characters, but also tells about those that are an inspiration to us, an influence in our lives. People who their lives can be a mentor for us to guide us in our earthly walk. And without the Holy Spirit in reading the scriptures and understanding the Bible, informs us by reading through by the Holy Spirit, teaches us all these things. And even if we have perplexed things happening in our lives, we can rely on the Word. Go to the Word. But I suspect many times the scriptures might be the last thing we go to when we're really struggling with things. And you ever hear people say, or maybe you think about it yourself, that, well, God's not speaking to me. He seems to be really quiet. He seems to be silent. I can't hear him. And he doesn't seem to answer my prayers. And yet, I wonder that maybe we overlook the fact that he has been speaking to us all the time. How so? Through his word. But we maybe just have closed our ears or closed our eyes and not gone to the scriptures to find those encouraging parts of the scriptures that would help us through a tumultuous times or turmoil. And yet, he still speaks to us. But you know what we need to do? We need to read the Bible, do we not? We need to spend some time in the Bible. And when you spend time in the Bible, I'll read sections of it, and when I'm done, okay, what did I read? I don't remember. I don't know how many times I've read the Proverbs, and I would read a chapter, and, what did I just read? Then I'll go back and try and figure out, then I maybe concentrate. But what I find is when you need those scriptures at a point in life, the Lord will bring them to you because you've read it. And it has recorded somewhere in our memory chips in our brain. And the Lord will bring those things to you. And I encourage, the reason I'm spending a little time talking about the Bible before I get to Caleb is because Caleb was a character in the Bible that we can read and get encouragement because of his walk with the Lord wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So with just that, I encourage everyone to read the scriptures. Have the Bible on your desk. If you have a number of Bibles, put them throughout your apartment, throughout your home, because it's like when you see the Bible sitting on your night table or on your coffee table or maybe on the corner of your table in your kitchen, It's like a sign I see, and many of you already seen it, at camp in the cloud room where we always went to service. There was a big sign that said, God is progressive. And when you read it enough times, it's just etched in your mind. And if the Bible is in different places in your home, you see it. You'll get drawn to it. And when you're struggling with something, not thinking about the Bible, you'll walk into a room, you'll see the Bible there. And the Lord will encourage you to read His Word, because He's always active in your life through the Word, through His Word. And so I just encourage you to rely on the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures to help you, encourages you to get through some tough times. And even if you are not having tough times, read the Scriptures in any event, because there's a lot of things that He'll teach you, because your mind is ready and open to other things. So I want to turn to Caleb. And there's not a lot talked about Caleb, but what he did demonstrate, I want to touch on a few points. So there's not a lot written about him, but what can be said about it, or he can be categorized as inspirational just because of his walk with the Lord, that he walked with the Lord wholeheartedly. To me, he's seen as a mentor. He's seen as a testimony, seen to me as an example of someone I would like to talk to him, what makes his faith and his in the Lord so strong that he followed him wholeheartedly. And I'm sure many of us know that regardless of who we are, we like to have mentors. We like to have examples. We like to see others that we can take their experiences and apply something to us. In Saskatoon, we started a men's breakfast this in 2013. Well, the reason we started a men's breakfast was to have an opportunity to fellowship of the men in our assembly, to talk about things, have fellowship, talk about leadership of the church, our families. And one of the topics, the last one, was on mentors. We talked a bit about mentors, examples. And in Proverbs 13:20, it says, the first part of the verse says, walk with the wise and become wise. So as we gather together and talk about things that are of a concern maybe to the church, how we can be better leaders in our assembly, in our families, is to visit with those that have gone that path already. So in because they have gained that wisdom. Now, by definition, a mentor is a wise and trusted counselor or a teacher. And the Scriptures provides us with these mentors. Though they are maybe not alive right now, we can read their account and with the help of the Holy Spirit apply their experiences to help guide our lives in right living. And Caleb is one of those characters who shows that he had a complete faith in God and followed Him wholeheartedly. So I want to give a little bit of background just before I get to the place I want to. Some of this background has to do with Israel has left Egypt, has gone through the Exodus, and the Lord moved mightily and led them out of all that bondage. And remember, there were a couple of million people in that move, and this is no small feat that they have left Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, and the Egyptian army was totally annihilated. And despite their complaints of the people in the time that they were moving towards the land of promise that God was leading them, they complained, and despite all that, the Lord provided all their needs. Again, remember how many people there are. Out in the wilderness, I'm sure they didn't have opportunity to harvest any of the crops that were in the desert. And yet the Lord looked after all their needs. God promised them a land for themselves. and he promised them a rest and peace from all their enemies. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the rules and the commandments that he had required for the children of Israel to live by. And now here the nation of Israel stands on the side of Jordan to cross over to take the land. And this is where the Caleb is introduced. If you can just picture, and I don't know how far this would be down a riverbank, but if you were to stand a million people down along a riverbank looking across and say, that's the land the Lord has promised us. And yet the people were fearful. And God instructed Moses to send the men in to explore the land. And one of the men was Caleb from the tribe of Judah, and another man, Joshua, from the tribe of Elim. And the reason I just mentioned these two men is when the report comes back, you'll find these two men said, we are able. But there's 10 men who did not. But in any event, there was Moses sent all these this group into the promised land to search it out. Who is there? How many people? What is the fruits? And all that, and bring a report back. And they were gone for 40 days. I can only imagine being a foreigner, because I'm sure they heard what had happened at the Red Sea, what happened in Egypt, and this horde of people are coming across the desert, standing on the other side of Jordan. They're probably over there seeing these million or so along the bank here with fear and getting ready to do battle, to war. And I can imagine the concern of seeing these strangers coming into the land, these 10 spies. But I want to go to the report. And if you turn with me to Numbers 14, chapter 13, verse 25. So this group of men have come back. They have come back and they're ready to give a report. Again, if you can picture, they are to report to Moses and all the elders of the 12 tribes. It would be in front of quite a group of men that this report is going to be delivered. And this is what the report says. Verse 25, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. Boy, that seems to be, should be just enough. Let's get at it. Let's go over. But there's a but in here. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified, and we have seen giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negeb, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. So there was a negative part of this report coming out. And remember, who's all listening to this? The whole community of Israel. And ten of the spies are focusing on the negative part. But here's what Caleb says. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go in at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Here's one man, despite all what the other 10 have said, him and Joshua said, we are capable, we are able to take the land. And why would that be? Why? I mean, Caleb seen everything all the other children of Israel seen and experienced when they left Egypt. He's seen the move of God's hand in their exodus. He's seen everything God provided. But he was faithful in what God said and what God promised, that he was not influenced by the influences that Egypt was on Israel at that time, or all these worldly things. He says we are able to take it, despite of all those armies that were there, or the people, they were able to take it. Let's go in and take it, he said. We certainly can conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. You can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there and descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. And sometimes I wonder if we compare that even to our walk with the Lord now. You know, it's part of human nature. We tend to look at negative things, but we're always encouraged to look at positive. And when testimonies come forward, like you have done this morning, and I do hope there's opportunity for more testimonies, is the positive things the Lord has dealt. Because what Caleb sees here is we can take it. The Lord is with us. No doubt about it. But Israel was overwhelmed with the bad report of the other ten. And as you read on, they rebelled. And despite what they've seen of God's mighty hand moving in Egypt and coming to this place, they were afraid. When you read into chapter 14, now they wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb because of their positive response. Can you believe that? Anyway, and they wanted to pick a new leader and replace Moses and what? Go back to Egypt. They want to go back to Egypt. This is 2 years later, give or take, and all that God had provided. Now they want to go back to Egypt. And that was a sad situation. But as Caleb and Joshua followed God wholeheartedly, should we not also follow Christ wholeheartedly? All that he's done for us, he died on the cross for us, and he's taught us. We have the scriptures, and that's why I touched on the scriptures first, just to emphasize how important the scriptures are in our spiritual walk. God's word will take us through. It's here. And if we have doubts, let's go to the scriptures and be encouraged by what Jesus did, his example to us. And if we follow wholeheartedly with Christ, as Caleb and Joshua did back in that day, they are the testimony to what I really would like in my life, is to walk with the Lord, follow him wholeheartedly. Because I know that the promised land is there. That rest and peace that he's promised us is there. It's for the taking. And that's all we need to do is easier said than done, right? Yeah, just trust the Lord wholeheartedly. It takes effort a little bit, but his hand is always extended. He's always there for us. So Caleb followed God despite all the dangers. He was willing to face the giants. He was willing to face the wrath of those who lost their faith in God. I'm sure he was not afraid to die if they decided to take his life. He was willing to drive the giants out of the mountains, even in his old age. In Joshua 14, it talks about him being 85, so he would have been 40 years earlier, 45, give or take. But the other thing I find interesting about Caleb is in those 40 years, the Lord told Moses, take the people back into the wilderness. This generation will not pass, but the next generation will. There seemed to be a time that they needed to learn a few things. And again, that sounds harsh, but there are times maybe the Lord just takes us back a little bit, just to help us understand, teach a few things. He never abandoned us. He never abandoned Israel at all. But he's just taken us to help us learn what we need to learn and to move forward. But the interesting thing I say about Caleb is 40 years pass. He's ready to go, but nobody else wants to go. He's ready to go, But he was obedient to the Lord when the Lord told Moses, take the people back into the wilderness. And there's no evidence, there seems to be no record that Caleb rebelled against anything. He obeyed the Lord and the authority that the Lord had given to Moses. And no doubt, I suspect in those 40 years, he was encouraging his clan, folks, let's get going. But it was still, even after those 40 years, 85-year-old man ready to go and take on the giants. I can imagine. If they were like we are today, who's 85 years old, ready to take over, to go in and take the land. But God promised it to both Caleb and Joshua, and you know that they were the only two that entered the promised land because of their following him wholeheartedly. So Caleb was able to follow God fully and wholeheartedly because he kept his eye on God. Everything was about God's plans. Caleb's faith was in God, not in himself. And I think that's why he was able to step back and endure the 40 years in the wilderness, knowing that what he had seen over there as one of the spies, you know, there was a lot of abundance for them. But he followed the Lord and continue to trust in him. He had confidence in God's promises. Because of that, he had seen God move in Egypt and knew God would be with them in taking the land. He had a different spirit, and that is referenced in Numbers 14:24. Let's just read it here. God says, "But my servant Caleb has a different attitude than the others have. He has remained loyal to me, so I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Now turn around and go back toward the land." And that's where that happened. But Caleb had a different spirit. The different spirit was he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. It wasn't a slothful walk with the Lord. I'm encouraged by that because we can also follow the Lord wholeheartedly. And it's not a hard walk. All we have to do is just be faithful to the things we have learned and read in the scriptures and put them into our lives day by day and endeavor to follow the Lord. And if we take note of these things, keep our eye on the Lord, have confidence in him, have a different spirit, which is the Holy Spirit in us, and we have those, we will enter into that land of rest and peace. Following the Lord fully leads to a useful life. Caleb entered the promised land even in his old age and established a genealogy of faithful people. He was a leader and an inspiration to God's people. He was an example of faith and courage and had a heart of a servant. We can have that as well, that spirit of willingness in our lives, if we simply follow Jesus Christ, the Savior, and what all he's done for us, and follow him with a full and wholehearted part of our lives. Following the Lord leads to a fulfilled life, the promise of a rest and peace, an inheritance and the fullness of all that God has for us. And when we operate our spiritual gifts, we enter into that relationship. And knowing God intimately through his word, through prayer, spending time with him, allowing the Holy Spirit to be resonant in our hearts and lead our lives, then we can be like a Caleb, following, having a faith in the Lord and following him wholeheartedly. That is my desire for all of us, that we follow the Lord, endeavor to follow the Lord. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our times when we're going to run into trouble, but he's always faithful. And he's given us the tools to help us through, and that is the scriptures. Rely on the scriptures. There are many people in here that are recorded that can be that testimony or that that example for us to get through if we're having a tough time of some things. So I just encourage you to resort to the scriptures. Read about these patriarchs of old, the examples, the testimonies of these different people, and don't forget to thank the Lord for all that he has provided us, that we can use this as a guide to get us through. God bless you.